And welcome to this evening's meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. Before we start, I'd like to introduce Council Member Jen. What's your name?
Ford.
Because we're all on a first name basis here. It is very casual, just so you know. So Jen would like to say a few words about what we've been doing here with a little update, and then also introduce a new board member, and then we'll proceed to our regular agenda. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you, Chair Beal. As you mentioned, my name is Jen Ford. I'm a council member here in the city of Morro Bay. And I am the liaison for the Public Works Advisory Board. And I think it's quite appropriate because my history in Morro Bay when it comes to local government started in this very room during a Public Works Advisory Board meeting when I came to the board at the time and asked them to revisit the pavement management plan. So, my heart is with this board and the important work that you do, which ranges all, you know, from everything from whether you're going to paint a curb red to reviewing the water reclamation facility, reports that we get for that, various things that happen in our city. And it's so important because our infrastructure, we all know you can't run a city or even live in a city if your infrastructure isn't functioning properly or, you know, things aren't being taken care of. And so you have a really important job because as a council member, you know, we have a lot coming at us from all different angles and all different boards. And so we rely on each of our advisory boards to really dive deep into each of these topics that are presented to you. And we love to hear input, feedback that you provide to us. It helps us make better decisions as a council member because we look to our community, our own, you know, lives, our own history of what we've witnessed and observed in our lifetime, but also to hear from the folks that have been tasked with, like I said, a deep dive into those topics that we get to see later on. And so I always tell people I have the best board. And it's true because you guys really have one of the best jobs, and we really appreciate all of that you bring to our city. And if anyone's wondering, these are all volunteers here. These are all our community members that have stepped up to take on this position to really help us function as a city that much better. So we really appreciate all that you do. And lastly, I want to introduce we have a board member who we just reappointed. We have Doug Hill, who is back and is here with us to continue another term. And then we also have a brand new board member, Derek Dahlgren. Did I pronounce your name correctly? Okay, good. We're excited to have him here to join the PWAB team. And was there anything else, Chair Beal, that you'd like for me to talk
about? No, I really appreciate those remarks. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much.
So with that, I think we're ready to get into business here. So we'll start by establishing a quorum if the city would like to take roll call, or we can.
Thank you, Chair Beal. And as a point of order, has the meeting been called to order already?
The meeting is called to order.
I don't have a clock in front of me at 5:35. And quorum, Board Member Goldman?
Here.
Board Member Irwin?
Here.
Board Member Dahlgren?
Here.
Excuse me.
Brief technical glitch.
I'll start over. Board Member Goldman?
Here.
Board Member Irwin?
Here.
Board Member Dahlgren?
Here.
Board Member Gaffney?
Here.
Board Member Hill?
Here.
Board Member Nava?
Here.
And Chair Beal?
Here.
We have quorum.
And then we'll with that, we'll start our meeting in the usual way with a moment of silence. And now we'll be ready to begin with our business, starting first with the Pledge of Allegiance. If anyone would like to volunteer to lead us, please feel free to do so, or we can all stand up.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. And then we will start with noting that the public can participate in this meeting either in person or virtually. We have next on the agenda some announcements. Are there any announcements by board members? Well, I would like to announce and welcome Derek Dahlgren, is that correct?
It's Dahlgren.
Dahlgren. Well, I can't see from here. So we need names on both sides. Just note for.
I have none.
Well, we'll get you sorted next time. Anyway, we're very pleased to have you and welcome.
Thank you.
And then, are there any announcements from the department?
I don't have any announcements tonight.
Okay. I see on the agenda it said election of chair and vice chair. Did we complete that task at our last meeting, or is that up for today? Could you clarify, please?
Thank you, Chair Beal, for the question. It comes up every February for every February meeting. So, I think I can maybe just open it up if anyone's interested in being chair. If you're interested in being chair, state your intention and vote the chair in.
Okay, we're going to keep our seats.
And currently vice chair is, I'm drawing a blank, Mr. Irwin, and do you wish to continue being vice chair?
If someone isn't the chair, I'll be the vice chair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Is there anyone wishing to challenge the...
Okay. It's not a challenge. It's just a.
I think we should just take a vote to formalize it. I don't think we need a motion, but to move forward with chair as Lori Beal and vice chair as John Irwin, I'm just looking for the votes. So if you're in favor, say aye. If opposed, say nay. Board member Goldman?
Aye.
Board member Dahlgren?
Aye.
Board member Irwin?
Aye.
Board member Gaffney?
Aye.
Board member Hill?
Aye.
Board member Nava?
Aye.
And Chair Beal?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you. From there, we can move to public comment. And this particular public comment period is specifically for members of our community that would like to comment on something that is not already in our agenda. So that's just sort of the order of things. So would anyone like to make any comments at this point? I think the answer from the audience is no. Bob, did we have any virtual attendees that wish to comment?
No, ma'am, we do not have anybody on virtual.
Okay, great, thank you. Moving on, the next agenda item, which is under A, would be the consent calendar. And this is where the board can vote to approve as a group several different actions that generally are not particularly controversial. So this consent calendar would include approving the minutes from the last meeting. Actually, I think that's all that's on the calendar. So unless anyone wishes to, let me rephrase. If anyone wishes to discuss the minutes from the meeting, please let me know.
I do have a question which popped up. How's the search for a new city engineer?
Thank you for the question, Board Member Irwin. I don't know that relates to the minutes, but I can share that we have made an offer and someone's accepted, so.
Great.
Oh, that's great.
Good.
Good news.
We had one viable candidate, and that person accepted.
So let's go ahead and vote on the consent agenda. Well, first I'll ask if there's a motion to approve the consent agenda.
And Chair Beal, you'd need to ask for public comment on the consent first.
I thought we did that. Okay, public comment on the consent agenda. Or online public comment.
We have no one online.
Okay, thank you. Then I think we can go ahead with the vote. Or, I'm sorry, with the motion. Does anyone move to approve them?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as written.
I'll second the motion.
In favor?
I'll do a roll call vote. Board Member Nava.
Aye.
Board Member Hill.
Yes.
Board Member Gaffney.
Aye.
Board Member Irwin.
Yes.
Board Member Dahlgren.
Yes.
Board Member Goldman.
Yes.
And Chair Beal.
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on, we have just one business item today, but it's important. So we'll go on to business item B1, contract closeout agreement for the Water Resources Center. So first is there a presentation on that topic?
Thank you, Chair Beal. Yes, there is. And before Anthony begins from Carollo, I just want to say, you know, I was not here when the project started, but we all know that the WRF project has been going on for several years. It was a very difficult and challenging project for the community. It's been very expensive. It's had a number of engineering challenges, but it is exciting that we are now talking about closing out the contract for the treatment plant. And so what we have for you tonight is a request to review the final settlement of this contract. So the way these large contracts work is the contractor comes through with a bunch of potential change orders and says, hey, city or state or whoever, you owe us all this money for all of these reasons. And the negotiations begin with that. And sometimes those claims have merit, sometimes they don't. And so we do have a presentation that goes through that at a high level. And certainly we can go into more detail as desired. That said, this is going to be going to the City Council on March 12th. And so we'd not only be looking for a motion and a vote to recommend to the City Council to approve this settlement, but any input that any of the board members have individually would be very welcome. So with that, I'm going to call up Anthony Simo. He's a project engineer, and is that your title?
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Project engineer with Carollo. For the newer board members, Carollo is our project manager for the WRF program. So the WRF program has three components. It's the plant, it's the conveyance pipes, and then it's the recycled water piece. So Carollo oversees the entire thing, including financing and funding and environmental and really, really everything. And so Anthony's been with this project now for a number of years and is available to go through this presentation and take questions after.
Yeah.
Let me just ask a very quick clarification just so everyone can understand. The agenda item discussed that the contract is between Filong Block and V. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm saying that right, FBV. So perhaps before you begin, you could explain the relationship between that and Carollo.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Yes. Thanks, Greg. So as Greg mentioned, my name's Anthony Simo with Carollo Engineers. I think I am, in this whole entire program, the second longest person to be working on it other than Damaris. I've been working on the project since 2017 and just a lot of times in the background, but I am Carollo's project engineer and internal project manager for the inner workings and administrative duties for Carollo. This is my first Public Works Advisory Board meeting, but I've definitely put together lots of presentations and lots of staff reports, so happy to meet you all in person. And you can start the presentation. So FBV is a joint venture between Phelonk Construction and Black & Veatch Engineering, and being FBV, Phelonk, Black & Veatch. And they are the design build contractor for the water reclamation facility project. They started design back in 2018 and ended design in 2020 and started construction in March of 2020. And of course, as the design build contract, there is design ongoing and throughout the construction process. So just note, as Greg has mentioned, this is the largest public works project the city has ever undertaken and probably one of the largest construction public works projects on the Central Coast. So it's significant and definitely a huge milestone for the city to be reaching an end. You can go to the next slide. Yeah. Do you want me to do that? Just next slide. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So project status. FBV is in the final stages of the project. Of the project closeout. And all PCOs and a PCO, for those of you who don't know, is a potential change order, meaning that contractor pretty much has the ability to make any claim to a PCO. However, it is the construction manager's and project manager's job to determine whether that has merit. And, you know, lots of times in construction, projects can say, oh, you know, we want to claim something, and we say, no, it's in your contract or it's not valid, that kind of thing. So just want to let you know that general definition of PCO. So the PCOs, all outstanding PCOs that the contractor could potentially claim have been submitted and reviewed by Corollo. And the punch list, which is the final, to-do list of things that need to be done per the contract, is done. With the exception of one item, pretty minor, but the city and Corollo and FBV are working on it. And that's expected to be completed at the end of March. And the city has issued a notice of substantial completion on January 24th, 2024. And with that, that notice of substantial completion allows the contractor to request their final retention amount that the city has been holding of $212,000. And just an FYI, that retention is just part of the larger project retention. It's nothing new. It's just retention was held at every invoice, and then before that 212 is just part of that larger amount. So with that, there were several project closeout considerations. The outstanding PCOs we had for this project were these six, which in total were $2.4 million. And as you can see, of the six, two of them, PCOs 123 and 128, totaled $2 million, with the rest totaling approximately $425,000. So these six PCOs were thoroughly reviewed by Corollo, and we went back and forth with FBV many times. We found that the four PCOs, summing of $425,000, which is PCO 122, 126, 131, and 139, had merit. However, PCO 126 and 138, we did not believe that they demonstrated adequate merit for its full value, meaning yes, it's you claim $2 million. We don't believe those PCOs were a $2 million value. So with that, as again stated, PCO 123 and 138 represented two of the $2.4 million total. And I'm not sure how these meetings are structured, but if there are any questions, please feel free to ask unless you want to wait till the end. Yes.
I'm sorry, a point of order. We'll just leave that up to the chair if the chair would like to entertain questions during the presentation or.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm fine with whatever the board feels would be most efficient and useful.
Yeah.
So if there's no I'll just ask, is there any objection to allowing questions as the presentation continues versus afterward?
Just while it's fresh in your mind.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, John. Thank you. Yeah.
Did you prepare the engineer's estimate for the PCOs?
No. No, typically the contractor prepared their, not necessarily an engineer's estimate, but it was a present. It was a itemized, this is what we spent. Because when these PCOs were presented, it was money that was already spent. It was work that had already been done. Never was it, we think it's going to cost this much. It's, hey, we did this task, it was out of scope, and it cost us this much. And here's the backup for that information. So
okay.
That's, yeah.
The reason why I'm asking this is when I saw, was it $2 million you're saying now for V-ditches?
No, that was, the V-ditches, we can go back. The V-ditches was 670. That was PCO 138.
Plus the V-ditch site security, what's that?
Oh, so the site security was between the perimeter fence and the V-ditches, there's a gap where the V-ditch, the trapezoidal channel comes, you know, that shape, and the fence goes over it. The city requested a welded wire mesh security gate placed over that for security reasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it, so how many feet of V-ditch had to be repaired?
Off the top of my head, I do not know. Go ahead.
It seems like a lot of money for a V-ditch is the reason why I'm asking.
It was a combination of things. It was a combination of repairs, a combination of improvements, a combination of hydro seeding, a combination of soil erosion repair. So it wasn't just the V-ditch. And then there was also a significant amount of temporary irrigation placed on this hillside to allow for the hydro seeding to be reestablished with it, because it was like in August, so we wanted to make sure it took it established with
So it's not just V-ditch, it's also...
Yeah,
it's,
that's just the title, yeah. There's a lot.
Can you kind of fill me in on what's included under V-ditch right there then?
For 138?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the one that includes the repairs after the January 9th event, the improvements to the structure that is going to prevent any erosion in the future, soil erosion fixes and amendments, rehydroseeding the entire hillside, installing a temporary storm or temporary irrigation to the hillside to establish the hydroseed. So all of that is included, and of course, design for the new improvements that were added on.
Was there any deficiencies in the design which allowed the erosion to happen?
There was a lot of things that were considered in the design.
I'll jump in on that. Okay. And maybe just provide some higher level context. So the V-ditches were installed,
yeah,
and they failed. And so they failed during the January 9th storm and even prior to that in, I think, late December of 2022 during one of the first rains. As to whether there were design flaws, depends who you ask. The city staff certainly believe there were. Some of that is debatable. Ultimately, because this is a design-build contract, the city does not have a lot of control over directing the contractor in terms of what goes in. The contractor, the design-build team is responsible for developing the solution and then implementing it. And so I do want to point out that what Anthony has said is that Carollo did not think that this particular claim had merit.
Yes.
And so we can certainly talk about it in detail, but ultimately you're going to see this go away because we're not proposing to pay for that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Greg. Okay, so again, back to PCOs 123 and 138. The city team, so again, 123 is the V-ditch, or is the two that add up to 2 million. So the city and Carollo provided...
I'm sorry, Anthony. Can you go back to the last slide? And I just want to be clear, or one more slide back. So, again, the two biggest PCOs here, 123, that's the second line, and then 138, the V-ditch failures. Carollo did not believe that those had full merit. They
yeah.
had maybe some, mm-hmm. but and those total around $2 million.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I'm going to interject a, a question just now, as much as I hate to do it, but just so that if there's a chance you don't know the answer, but you could find out the answer and let us know shortly. So I understand what you're saying about claims that were made and those that were accepted. To give that context for the entire contract, do you have, are you able to tell us the amount of claims that were made versus claims that were accepted and paid? And you, if you don't know the answer, then
I understand
why I would need that to understand the context of this this comparison you're making.
Yeah, I don't know the answer off the top of my head. I'm really not sure if the records looked at the initial claim and what was finally negotiated. We do have that final number, of course, but the initial, I'm not sure. I'd have to look at the talk to the construction manager on that one, but I'm really not sure if that's recorded.
And I would add that if the PWAP thought that that would be a valuable piece of information for the city council to consider in our report to them, you know, maybe that is something we can dig up. But I do appreciate, Chair Beal, that you're kind of hitting at a point. There is a public perception that the city has just accepted change orders and been taken advantage of by the contractors. And there actually is a lot of work that goes into evaluating these claims. And I just want to take a moment, sorry to hijack your presentation, Anthony, but to call out that we have a pretty extensive, unusually extensive process with regards to these change orders. And I'm just going to go through it now because I don't think it's called out necessarily in your presentation, Anthony. But the first line of defense is Carollo. And Carollo reviews the potential change orders from the contractor. A lot of them they kill. A lot of them they negotiate. And some of them they accept if they have merit. Then it comes to city staff. City staff evaluates it. Sometimes we'll look at them, at the ones that have been accepted, and we say, well, hold on, we have X, Y, and Z issue. And then they go back to the contractor. Oftentimes, particularly in the early and mid portion of the project, the legal team would then get involved after that and have a look at the PCOs. Then it would go to a WRF subcommittee, which currently includes the mayor and one council member for review. Then it goes to the Public Works Advisory Board, and then it goes to City Council. I say that because most of the time, most all Public Works projects, unless they are kind of high-profile, high-visibility projects that are maybe there's a community concern, change orders are just handled administratively. They're not brought to multiple, you know, public bodies, and they're not going through all these layers of review because the priority is to just complete the project. Of course, within reason, nobody wants to be taken advantage of. But we go through a pretty intensive process of review. And so I just wanted to kind of call that out with the opportunity of the point you raised, which was not this. I realized that. But that, yes, there has been a lot brought to the city and to Carollo that has been rejected during that process.
Yeah.
Thank you, Director Qualick. And to clarify, my question in no way was intended to impugn any portion of this process, but since it's being presented as part of the presentation without understanding sort of a baseline to compare it with, I don't know how to kind of factor that into our decision making. So it was just a question, and I'm going to, just for the sake of moving forward, I'll suggest if someone has a question on a specific slide, like a specific question, I think it does make sense to address it at the time versus going back. But if you have a more general question, let's hold those till the end.
Okay.
Sound good? Okay. Thank you. Please go ahead.
So, okay, so Carollo did provide a significant amount of comments to FBV on both of those change PCOs, the 123 and 138. You know, I reviewed every cost, just does this make sense? Should this be included? And we went back and forth with them, and you know, we came to a position where we provide their comments, they provide responses, we don't agree with their responses, so we're kind of at that point. So, and right now, and so with that piece of information in mind, of this is where we are with those two PCOs, The current contract value for this project stands at around $78.4 million. So just looking at kind of buckets, those initial four PCOs that were $425,000 that had merit, if we included those, we would increase the contract to $78.8 million as, you know, final closeout. However, we have the extra $2 million that we need to consider that both parties don't agree on. However, one thing that we did, the city and Carollo did in all of these negotiations, is make the hard stance of, we understand that if the city accepts these PCOs, all of them, we're gonna increase the contract value to $80.8 million. However, the city's budget is $79.1 million and you are not going over that. You know, that, because we all know that we're just not going over it. That's not the good thing. So with that, you know, we have the current maximum budget of $79.1 million. So with the unresolved PCOs 123 and 138, the next step would be to go to mediation to find resolution. So in this industry, mediation is something we all want to avoid because it's going to cause significant amount of professional services fees with legal staff, as well as professional staff and the city staff, as well as a significant amount of time that we all know we don't have. Furthermore, the mediation process is also very unpredictable. It's based on a mediator, not really based on the two parties. You know, we present the best information we have, and it's mediated through a third party. So with that, we looked at three scenarios. Now, these scenarios, it's a lot of information, but you can really ignore you could just look at the bottom line. We looked at three scenarios, a high, a medium, and a low. And this is, so where we are right now in our evaluation is weighing, is it worth it to fight to go to mediation? Is it worth it to have this discussion? So we said, okay, with the budget in mind, of course. A high scenario is full cost, $2.4 million. The middle medium scenario is, let's get rid of the V ditches because we believe that it had no merit. The last scenario is all the PCOs are reduced by 50%. So with that, there's the PCO amount, there's the current GMP of 78.4 million. Each one of those scenarios will increase, just as all the other amendments in this project have increased the contract price above the city's budget. You can see the high is 80.8 and the low 79.6. Still at a situation that we don't want to be in.
And I'd like us to just stop here and see if there's any questions, because this is a really important point in the presentation.
Yes. Yes.
At this point, it's no longer an engineering decision. It's become a management decision, and we're looking at a negotiation for a resolution, but a settlement.
Correct.
There's a difference between resolution and settlement.
Yes. Here. So, yeah, the resolution would most likely be the mediation route, where we, you know, one side it's resolved. Yeah. So, do you have any?
Is mediation required under the contract then? As the first,
it's allowed under the contract.
Is it required?
It's required if certain steps are taken by a party, which the other party did begin taking those steps.
Yeah.
Are there options beside mediation? Can the parties go directly to court?
Typically want to avoid
going. Not typically under the contract, I mean. What does the contract allow?
The contract allows mediation, and I think if it's not resolved in mediation, it goes to court.
Does it require mediation or allow mediation?
That's a good question, because I want to say, I think both parties would rather go to mediation before going to court. So it's almost like, I don't know.
So I'll just share, I'll answer in two ways. One, we'll look that up.
Yeah.
And because we don't have the answer right now. But two, there are steps outlined in the contract where a party can bring both parties to mediation.
Yeah.
And you know, my sense was that as those steps were being followed, we would be forced into mediation.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it would necessarily last long if we just kind of gave up on it and went directly to court. But
under the contract, do the parties each share the cost of mediation, or how does that work?
Again, I don't know the details of that off the top of my head.
Was the city attorney involved in these discussions?
Very much so.
Very.
Yeah.
And I recall conversations about costs to the city with regards to mediation.
Just a thought that in future for this type of discussion that seems, where we seem a little vague on the actual requirements, it could be helpful to have someone able to speak to those issues. Because they seem very fundamental, but you're not able to explain the answers. But thank you. Go ahead, please. And anyone else on this topic?
I do have a question on, at this point, we've exhausted all our avenues to negotiate, like item 123 and 138.
Yeah.
So we've reached a point where the saber rattling is over with, and it's either we do a settlement or potential mediation.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and that's what this is. That's what this part of the presentation is about. Because you make a good point. You could say, do we keep going? Do we keep spending resources? Do we keep, you know, saber rattling and having these discussions with the contractor, just fighting them? And so the issue is, neither party's agreed. We had all these comments, the contractor didn't agree. So if we keep having that and we, you know, not agreeing, that's when the mediation process starts. However, we looked at these three scenarios to say, okay, say we negotiate high, medium, low scenario, you're still over the budget. So we presented, you know, an assessment of those scenarios. FBV gets everything that they claimed. High, unlikely. We don't believe some of them that they're full 100% merit. Medium, negotiating down $500,000 to $700,000, that's very likely. But we're still at $1.6 million, which is significantly over the city's budget. And low, least likely, FBV will challenge us very heavily on reducing their cost fully. So, again, none of these results are favorable to the city. So with that, we said, okay, we have this hard stance of the city's budget, $79 million. If we increase the contract to $79 million, and that's the total contract value, will you accept that? They did. So with that, we have savings to the city, and if we have, you know, you can see the high, medium, low scenarios that have the revised, you know, contract value of 79.6 to 80.8. With that settlement offer of 79 million, there's savings of 1.6 to 1.8 million. So yes, we could keep going, but we looked at it from a, you know, a settlement perspective and said, hey, if they accept this, we don't have to spend professional services fees. We're able to save money in the PCOs, and the project comes to a conclusion. So that's every scenario results in savings to the city, and the big thing is the risk. There's no risk in this scenario that we, you know, there's an unfavorable outcome in mediation.
So how did you derive, or who derived the high, medium, and low scenarios? Like, is there supporting, like, information so someone could understand, you know, what analysis you undertook to reach those numbers?
Yeah, so the big one, the high is the high. It's the highest value it could possibly. The low, we knew that reducing by 50% would be a stretch even, because that's pretty much, hey, every, you know, just taking 50% out from everything, that's a lot. A contractor reduced everything by 50%. In the medium, we knew the V-ditch was the most contentious item, and, you know, the city, as Greg said, the V-ditch has failed. And the contractor, there's a lot of back and forth with that. And so we said, okay, city doesn't agree that any of it has merit, therefore we're getting rid of it. So that was our medium scenario of just remove, and it's a decent negotiation, you know, to negotiate $500,000 to $700,000 is a lot. And so to just completely remove that seemed like a good middle ground. So that was our judgment of that one, especially because the four had, those four that totaled to 425,000 had merit. So, so that was our justification. So with that, our recommendation is to accept the closeout settlement to finalize the Amendment 10, which would finalize FBV's contract to $79 million, which falls below the city's budget. And, yeah, it finalized the contract amount it should be, yeah, contract amount, not contract budget amount, to $79 million. And so with that, there's no impact to the WRF budget. And again, there's a lot of numbers on here, but when we look at the current FBV contract amount, 78.4, and the final contract amount of 79 results in a settlement amount of $575,000. So we're below budget by around $123,000. And below that, under the current funding sources row, you can see the various combination of funding sources that we are using to finance this project, with a combination of a planning grant, WIFIA, SRF construction loan, and some Title 16 grant funding as well. And you can see that total is around $79 million. So any questions? No, okay. So with that, wanted to take you have a question? Go ahead. No? Okay, I thought you were going to ask a question. With that, we're taking a higher stance at the program overall budget. And as Greg mentioned, this program has three components, actually four components if you include our, you know, the program costs and the city costs and everything. With our current, as you guys are aware, every quarter we develop a quarterly report for PWAB, and we're expecting to have a next one in April. The next one that closes out the two major construction components, the WRF and conveyance. The last quarterly report had a total contract value of the WRF, meaning all the contracts for this total program totaled $135.9 million. Since then, which was August 2023, there's only been $2.1 million of new contracts. And of that $2.1 million, that includes both the closeout dollar amounts for the conveyance facilities and the WRF. So you can see the 880 and the 575. And so with that, we have a proposed contract value of $138 million, which is below the budgeted amount of the program of 159. So with that, when we do the new quarterly report, we'll get a better understanding of expenditures to date, simply because we look at just the expenses and everything of the project outside of contracts. And we're still confident that the expenditures to date is below the budget amount. And so with the expenditures to date plus the budget for the recycled water facilities, we're anticipating that this is, you know, this project is still well below $159 million.
There's some nuance to that, but it's true that we're not exceeding the plant budget, but you know, we still don't have a design for the recycled water facilities, nor a very good engineer's estimate on the cost of that. So I do just want to call out, I don't believe that we're going to stay within that $159.8 million price range ultimately. But for this plant, yes, it's true that it's within the budget.
Correct. So that concludes the closeout presentation of the water reclamation facility and opening up the floor to questions.
I've got a couple of questions. And these might be better directed to the city attorney, so if you want to pass on the answers. Do the lending sources need to sign off on these?
On the PCOs?
On the final contract.
No. So the final contract, Corolla oversees the funding of, you know, we've been, Corolla and Confluence Engineering Solutions has been integrated with the funding sources throughout the last few years of this project. No, within the funding sources, there is a line item for amendments and change orders. So it's, you know, it's, they don't have to, what we do is we send the documentation to them and, you know, they
you don't anticipate any issues with any of the lending sources?
No.
Okay. And one other question, it's probably better directed at the city attorney as well. Does this agreement absolve them of any warranty work?
So there's several warranty items. So the plant is all, the 1 year warranty for the plant has passed. However, there are other warranty items that are still in effect, like the structural integrity of the roof system and whatnot. But no, we'll probably have to defer that because right now we're still drafting that final amendment language, and it is in circulation of, you know, with city attorney and whatnot of how we're going to, you know, write those settlement terms.
That was it for my questions.
Okay. Yes. You had a question?
Just sort of to recap, so we spent, or to clarify for mm-hmm. me, $78 million so far.
No. That is their contract amount.
Was 78.
Mm-hmm.
And then the council increased it to 79.1?
Not yet. No. Oh. No. So right now their contract is 78.4. Council, the budget, I think it was two fiscal years ago, maybe three, the budget amount in the city's actual budget numbers, I don't know what it's called, just their total budget for this project is 79.1.
So if this settlement offer is accepted,
yes,
it says here we'd go over to 79
yes.
million. So you're going to be asking the city council to increase
yes.
that part of the
yeah,
budget.
As amendment 10. Yes.
From 78.4 to 79.
Correct.
Of the contract.
Yeah, of the contract, which is how it's been done for this project throughout, you know, there's the it's kind of the various PCOs. Once they're accepted, they go into an amendment, and that is the contract amendment that ultimately increases the GMP or the contract value mm-hmm. of the project. So,
And you said that FBV is willing to, you think they will accept this settlement?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I had a question. Are there possible additional, you know, PCOs for the last remaining item to be completed?
No. That one punch list item?
Yeah.
No, that's part of the punch list, and that's in their base contract, so they need to finish it regardless.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the $575,000.
Yes.
Roughly.
Yeah.
If we were not to approve it, that $575,000 could be still utilized for one of the other programs, or is it has to be utilized for this program?
So the $575,000 is the nexus between the current contract and what the, so if the $575,000 were not approved by City Council, in theory, that budget could be shifted to another component of the project.
Yeah.
But what staff would advise and the attorneys would certainly advise is that would throw the entire relationship into mediation, and we'd probably wind up spending a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it.
Right. But by accepting the mediation, we're saving $1.8 million, right? Like,
yes.
And,
yeah.
And closing the book.
Yeah, and that was the benefit of that. It's the no risk. Whereas if both parties agree to this number, then that 1.8 is just, okay, that's saved.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep.
I don't know if this is a question or more of a comment. Part mm-hmm. of the reason I am really very interested in seeing the overall numbers of the proportion you're paying versus how much is being requested in these PCOs. Yeah. Is because on one hand, I feel that you're saying, well, the city's saving so much money. It's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then part of me wants to say, well, why are they overcharging you that much? That sounds kind of iffy to me, but I'd, you know, love to have someone else with better.
If I could chime in there, if Anthony goes back to that slide where you have all the PCOs, the city doesn't, the city isn't rejecting all these. The city only has concerns about two of them.
Correct.
And so
Yeah, I just want to make sure it's clear. There's $2.4 million being proposed in PCOs that, of course, the settlement agreement would just wash this out. But the city isn't rejecting all of these, that full 2.4.
No.
The city does feel that there's merit in some of these.
Correct.
And so, you know, Anthony can go into detail about some of them.
Yeah.
At their base, I would not characterize PCOs as an overcharge. There are certainly times when they may be that, and we think that, for example, a couple of those would be that. And we're not proposing to pay those.
Correct.
I think,
But generally speaking, PCOs are a change in scope.
Correct.
If I have a carpenter come to my house to build cabinets or something in my kitchen, and then I say, oh, by the way, I also want you to build out the attic and finish it, that's a change in scope, and that's going to cost me more money. And so, again, generally speaking, the PCOs that we agree with and accept are those kinds of changes in scope. Yeah. That not only are warranted, but that the contractor is entitled to, and if we don't pay them, then the contractor comes after the city.
Mm-hmm. I think from our point of view, the thing that's a little, you know, raises some questions is that the contractor's accepting 25% of the final PCO, where how many other, you know, overcharges were we possibly getting? I think that's kind of the flag that it raises. Like, I totally think it's a great deal for mm-hmm. the city, you know,
yeah.
with the 1.8, but how many other hidden kind of bogus claims were there?
I can make that
number go higher.
Yeah,
if that
I can explain
makes
that.
Sense.
So that's the mediation process. So if the city absolutely did not agree and we were not going to offer a settlement and just, you know, it was going to go to mediation, the contractor now has a incentive to go after now $2.4 million, whereas now they don't have to spend any money in professional fees and legal fees, and they only get, and they get, you know, to 79. So I don't want to use the term, it's a business decision, but they're running a business. And it's, okay, if I'm going to spend time in mediation, I'm going after all of it. Or I'm not going to spend any time, and we'll accept 25% of it. So
I totally agree. Yeah. I think just the game part of it,
yeah.
you know, is like how many, we're at the very end, how many of these, you know, we don't have those numbers in front of us to know how many times they accept the 25%.
Yeah.
When maybe it was just kind of.
Well, and that's why we line by line, and ultimately, we don't agree with this. This should not be included. This, and then we presented that to them and they didn't agree with us. We're on the same page. There was many costs, even in the V ditches, where, you know, I reviewed. Said, I don't believe this should be included, or this was a betterment to the design. You can include this, but they simply didn't agree. So that's where we had that gap in understanding, and it started to lead to, hey, this is going to mediation if we're not going to come to an agreement.
I think mediation is, you know, everyone wants to avoid that no matter what. And, you know, I think just for the context of, you know, us trying to understand, that helps. But,
yeah.
you know, I understand.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? I think it would be time to ask if we have any public comment on this agenda item. Seeing none, do we have anyone online, Bob?
Thank you, Chair. Currently, I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
All right. So this is where we would normally proceed to see if anyone would like to make a motion to approve, and then we would have discussion, and then someone would second the motion if they wish to.
I'll move that we approve the $79 million settlement.
I would second that.
If I may just add a clarifying statement, that the motion would be to recommend to the City Council that they approve the
yes.
settlement agreement
Correct.
At that amount. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. I move that We recommend the City Council approve the proposed contract value of $39 million for the WRF.
And I offer that, I would second that.
And then we can proceed to a vote.
Okay, Board Member Goldman?
I agree.
Board Member Dahlgren?
Agree.
Board Member Irwin?
Yes.
Board Member Gaffney?
Yes.
Board Member Hill?
Yes.
Board Member Nava?
Yes.
Chair Beal?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.
And for taking all of our questions.
Yes, of course.
Appreciate
thank
that.
You.
That completes our business items for today. So agenda item C is future agenda items. Would the department like to comment on those?
Thank you, Chair Beal. I believe I brought this up last time, but we are working on a capital projects prioritization. We currently have dozens of projects on our list. We're like working on all of them at once. It's not terribly realistic and a productive way of doing business. And so we'd like the PWABs look at that. And so we will be bringing a list of projects with sort of rankings in terms of what we believe the priority should be. And PWAB will be able to weigh into that, and then we'll take it ultimately to the City Council. We hope we'll have that ready by the March meeting. And then the Morro Bay High School has requested a stop sign, or for us to look at a stop sign at the easternmost entrance and exit. If you're coming east on Atascadero Road, what happens is the cars have right of way, and the buses are trying to get out and make a left turn, and they can't, and it creates a whole backlog there. So we'll do some analysis on that and present a report to the PWAB. I'm not sure that we'll have that by March because of our staffing shortages currently, but we'll do our best to at least get one of these to you.
Thank you. Do the board members have any requests for future agenda items?
Yes, I do. I'd be very interested to hear the progress on the pavement management program, if not next month, in April.
Okay.
Anything else? I think we're ready to adjourn. I want to thank everyone who joined us and viewed us online, and we always encourage and appreciate your participation. We are adjourned. See you next month.
Adjourned at 6:28.